Morning, everyone. Again, I thank God for another opportunity to want to share the God's word with you all. And most of all, I thank God for your singing. And although it's not very great, I hope it's from your heart. I know it's from your heart. And when we see Christ, how to feel him when you see Christ? Is that all you want to do, to see Christ? I hope that that will be all you want to do, okay? Many of us want to go heaven, right? Anyone don't like to go heaven? All us like to go heaven, okay? Like to go to heaven. But heaven is not our destination. Our destination is to see Christ and sit on his feet and worship him day and day in and day and day. Because in heaven, there's no night. Okay? I thank God when you're singing this hymn, when we see Christ, words fit into my mind. Today's message, you know, is on hope in the hopelessness. Okay? And many times when we do something for the Lord, we feel that we meet a snag or a block, we could not go on. And we thought it's hopeless. We were trying to give up. But I thank God when the day when we see Christ, hopelessness faded. And hope will forever stays. And when we see Christ, temptation vanish and hope forever bloom in your sight. So, yeah, I thank God today, just about in line with what I'm going to talk about. Important before I go on this Thursday, right? This Thursday, right? Your prayer retreat at Changi. Okay, I'll share you more about the work in China. Okay, and because it's through prayer, it's through perseverance. That God works wonders. I want to share with you on Thursday the miraculous work of God. How God led me from Shanghai to Xiamen. God's dealing with is you can just say hallelujah. In my life, I just thank God for the working in our lives and how he worked, how he raised person to lead the church there in Shanghai. When you meet, it's getting hopeless. No chance of continuing. But never mind, trust the Lord. God provide. Do you believe that? God is a God of miracles. And I thank God for his kindness, his goodness to me, that I can stand in front of you all. Shall we turn to John chapter 11? John chapter 11. We actually want to read the whole chapters, but because of time constraint, and Brother So is known for long-winded. Okay, long-winded. Okay. So I try to cut the time. Let's stand for read John chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 16. John chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 16. Shall we read responsively? Okay. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.
And Jesus cried out, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may glorify thy life.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he
Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. These things say he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And say, unto him, let us go that we may die with him. Okay, that's a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, so thankful for your grace. Thank you, thankful for your presence this moment. Thank you, Lord. You have not changed the past, even for the present, even forever. Thank God, Lord, you love us so much. Thou give us opportunity to worship you. May this moment be a time of reckoning, a time that we can go back to your words. May your words challenge us and channel us back to you. Father, we are so thankful again for your working in our life. Lord God, if there's one amongst us have not known you personally, maybe this is the day of salvation for her or him. Father, we pray that even as we share your word, that Lord God, we put away our intelligence, our knowledge. Lord God, we may be directed by thee alone. And may your spirit be our teacher. Guide your servant that whatever he say, Lord, will bring glory and honor to your name. May this day be a day of worship, a day where we can say, Lord God, you are worth our worship. Father, thank you again for your beautiful words that you're going to be shared. Help us, Lord, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for the hope, despite we see in a world of hopelessness. Thank you again, being our God, our Savior. May you grant us your presence and your power this moment. Father, thank you. And we pray in the wonderful name, Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, be seated. Thank you. Okay. Many of us have faced a situation we feel that hopeless, right? We feel that it's hopeless. We cannot continue anymore. And then even after we pray, we ask the Lord to help us, we feel that, God, we are still not doing anything. Now I'm facing death. Oh, I meet that dead end. I'm gone. Lord, where are you? Many a time we respond to God that way. Just imagine Martha and Mary was having a brother, Lazarus, who was very sick. And they rushed to Jesus. Jesus, can you help us? Master, can you help us? Lazarus, the one you love, is going to die sick. But what was Jesus Christ's reply? Well, let him be sick. I'll come later. Was that intent of our Christ? No. He wanted to test the trust and the hope that Mary and Martha had on Christ and Christ alone. Many of us, we have this challenge. Many of us have this challenge. So you see that John chapter 11 actually is one of the greatest hopeless cases in the Bible. When someone go to see a look at the death of Lazarus, who conclude that he was totally dead, truly dead, and there is no more hope. Yet in the face of the absolute hopelessness, the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates his power to step in the situation that transforms the situation into a time of blessing. You have to wait for his timing, not your timing. But the moment we fall into hopelessness, it's a time where we are despair. We are giving up. And we know in our life, there's a lot of hopeless case. Hopeless case. First, we think that we get hope when we are sick. We ask the Lord to help us. Okay? Lord, help me, I'm sick. Do something to me. Help me. Let me help the doctor to see my problem, that I can be cured. But important, during your sickness, do you only concentrate on your disease? Or you concentrate all your thoughts on the Creator of your life? Have you ever thought that God, you are the Creator of this life? You have the right to take away and to give lives. This moment of sickness, Lord, may your name be glorified. I think many of us, maybe 100% of us, you speak my sickness, Lord, please help me. For my sake, Lord, not for your sake. You see, the problems of sickness. In verse 1 to verse 3, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. See, Martha and Mary and Martha, they knew Jesus Christ as a God of miracles. Most important, they recognize Jesus' compassion. So that's why he said, Lord, whom thou lovest is sick. You have compassion on my brother Lazarus. He is sick. I know you will stretch and do anything for him and help him. And most important, they recognize Jesus' identity. Because in verse 27, in later part in verse 27, you can see, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Wow, she believes. And she knows. The only problem when we have sickness, we go into hopelessness, is because we do not recognize who Christ is. And we did not know that God is a God of compassion. Many a time when we face problems, we say, God, where are you? Don't you love me? Thanks, Tennessee. And I thank God he recognized. And in Matthew 21, verse 22, do you trust this? Do you believe in this word? And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Definitely ask in his will. You know, ask for 4D's number. Okay. You see, there's a problem of our disease. It makes us hopeless. And it will make us living away from that hope. And you come to verse 4 to verse 10. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Take note, Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. But surprisingly, in verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Master, what are you doing? My brother is sick. Well, there was a delay, definitely. There was a delay. See, when God delayed in our answer, how would you feel? You feel again, I'm only hopeless, lady, and you delay. I'm worse. I'm in dire situation now. Could have Jesus healed Lazarus? May I say, Lazarus, be healed. Can it be done? It can be done. He could have spoken where he was. But you see, Jesus Christ waited till Lazarus was dead. Many a time we will ask, Christ, why? God, why? You see, Mary and Martha was forced to watch Lazarus waste away and die. They were forced to wash his body, prepare it for burial, lay it in a tomb. They were forced to feel pain, heartbreak, sorrow, and doubt. They were forced into an impossible situation. Lord, you're not doing anything. Isn't it what we feel sometimes? Say, where are you, God? Why are you not doing anything? But many a time we have forgotten that his eyes is on the sparrow. If his eyes on the sparrow, it's on you. Because Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows. He knew the outcome. He knows what's ahead. But he will wait for the right time to react. There'll be delay. So what? Can you trust him? You know, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked, open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. See, he knows everything in your life. But God still wants us to pour our heart to him. Despite seemingly delay, he wants us to pour us to him. Because in Psalm 62, verse 8, Bible says, trust in him at all times, ye people. At all times, not sometime or certain time, but at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Again, pour out your heart. Many of us, when we go to the Lord, we got certain intent. Part of it, you brought it up. You need not pour out your whole heart. We need to pour our whole heart to the Lord. Let God examine. Okay? Pour out your whole heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
see the problems of delay may cause success. There's some delay. Well, you come to verse 21 and verse 22. You see, others say these are not the words of him. Sorry, verse 21. They say, Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. In verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. I like a Martha way of asking, talking to Jesus Christ. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went met him. But Mary sat in the house in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know you can still do miracle. Lord, I have doubt. But I know. You see, there's certain little shade of doubt in it over here. It's not that she totally trusts the Lord. I think we are in this situation sometimes. We really trust the Lord. I know, Lord, you can do miracle. But he had died. He is gone. The situation is worse now. It cannot be altered anymore. But Lord, I know you can do some miracle work. These are doubts. These are doubts. See? It's easy to get discouraged when the Lord doesn't do things in our way and in our time. We feel hopeless. Many believers lose the battle right here. They will get mad at God when he doesn't do as they say. They will get on without to him, and some will even quit on him. Give up. Lord, I'm not going. When people give up on God, they usually miss the greatest of his miracle. Amen. It's always too soon to quit. Can you trust him? So you see, but Jesus Christ was with them. He's the hope of the world. Martha knew it. Mary knew it. And they knew exactly in their heart that Jesus Christ is a God. He can perform miracles. Anytime you like. But they fall into doubt. I thank God. When Jesus arrives in Bethany, he comes upon a scene of utter despair. He was finding everyone was crying. He finds two very broken-hearted sisters, Mary and Martha. He finds what most would consider to be a hopeless case. Jesus walked into a tragic scene with words of comfort, hope and blessing. And he said, I'm going to promise you something. I'm going to do something. You see, in verse 23 and verse 25, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon. Sorry, again I read the wrong. Again, 23. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. That's a promise. When Jesus says something, rise again, it's already confirmed. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. See, Martha meet Jesus and tell her the brother will rise again. Yes. She said she believe. I believe. Then you see, Jesus gave her one of the greatest promises in the New Testament. He basically said to her, the resurrection of Lazarus does not have to wait until a future event. I'm the resurrection and the life. So, Jesus Christ, he said, promise, says that there'll be death. There'll be death in life, in this world. But remember, I'm the resurrection and the life. This death will be overcome. Because in verse 26, he said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believers, thou this? There shall be deliverance. I promise there will be deliverance. One thing we will be sure here, that doesn't mean that believers don't lay down their mortal body. They want to die physically. They would die physically. But truly, when Jesus was saying that, that they will not experience the second death. Revelation 20, 11, verse 2, 11 to verse 15. Romans 6, 23. Because Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That means we're gonna this body gonna perish. But our life in us will forever continue. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It means that when believers lay down their mortal body, they leave this world of pain and sorrow and suffering and go to a new land of peace, love, joy, and there they enter the presence of God. I know in July you heard of a beloved pastor gone back to heaven, Pastor Selva of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Okay. His body is rotting away, but his spirit is with the Lord. Because we know that the promise that one day, one God will give us, the day we leave this world, we also not leave the world, we physically die, our spirit live this world, delivered to forever with the Lord. See, it's very important. Even as we come back to verse 25, it's a promise of deliverance. Verse 25 to verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection of the life. When Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I promise you, you depend on me. Can you trust me? Can you depend on me? Believest thou this? In other words, matter is your faith in me and in what I can do. Matter, are you trusting me with everything, even with your soul? Believers, doubt this? I thank God, my God, he can walk into a hopeless case and make it a blessing. See, I promise you depend on me. I make this matter right. I want your whole heart. Thankfully, the Lord's promises are not limited to only the realm of death. His promises encompass all of life and give us hope regardless of what we face. I thank God there were promises about salvation. There are promises about deliverance from sin. There are promises about the future. There are promises about loneliness. You know that many people will say, I will ask you, when you go alone to do something for the Lord and you are alone doing something, I say, don't you feel lonely? Do you know that Christ is with you? God is with you? You are not lonely. Can't you talk to Him? Okay? I know we need to pray every day. While you're walking, can you talk to Him? Can you pray to Him? Yes. I know when you are driving a car, you don't close your eye and pray. But I tell you, in your heart, you can talk to Him as if He's with you. When you see something, Lord, that thing doesn't seem right. What shall I do? Help me, Lord. Give me, Lord. This morning read this verse. God will remind you. Then say, God, thank you. Boom. Decide to do something. Have you tried that? Any second, any moment, you can talk to Him. You are not lonely. By the way, you are not lonely. There are promises about peace. There are promises about needs. There are promises about prayer. Okay? There are thousands of promises that relate to every conceivable area of our life. Everything God has promised, He is able to do. The new question, do you know Him? If you are saved by His grace, that is, if you have been convicted of your sin, you have turned to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, believing that He died for your sin and was buried, and rose again the third day, you are saved. And the promises of God are yours. But only you need patience to wait. Patience to wait. Wait upon Him. There are promises. I thank God. There's a power in hope. There's power in hope. Do you know that God feels the way we feel? He feels our pain. Because in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to verse 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here I thank God, you see, when He came, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Never to say, find grace to solve the problem of need. No. Help in time. How to overcome, how to conquer it. I thank God, God can have feeling. Okay? Have that feeling. Do you know when you feel pain, have you relate yourself, your pain, to the pain of Jesus Christ on the cross? You know that His pain is more than your pain. Okay? When you have little pain, you think it's excruciating pain. You feel it sometimes. You take a pin, just pin. Oh, it's so painful. Imagine Jesus Christ nailed on the cross with a nail that thick, plunged through His flesh. Can your pain compare to His? No way. But yet He's willing to feel your little pain through His big pain. Can you feel that Christ loves us so much? He knows. He knows. So So we have no reason to say, God, you don't care. God cares the little things in your life. His compassion, His power is in His compassion, His love. If God is not love, there will be no salvation. And because of that power of that love, there is salvation. And I thank God He manifests His compassions. He cares. I thank God He loves you, He loves me. You see, Jesus Christ was weeping. Verse 35, Jesus wept. He wept with the people. He saw the situation. He saw Martha, Mary weeping. And Jesus wept. And He wept maybe for a long reason. First, because of their unbelief. He wept because of their doubts. He wept because He loved Lazarus. He wept. There was a separation between Martha, Mary, and Lazarus for a moment as He wept. See, God is a God of compassion. And in verse 33, you see, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping with her, came with her, He groaned in the spirit. It's very profound. He groaned in the spirit. You know what's groaning in the spirit? It's so painful. It's something that hit you. You groan in the spirit. Maybe we have not encountered such situation before in our life. Okay, I still remember when my mom passed away. My spirit groaned. There's certain things I cannot say. I want to say some word. It just cannot come out from my mouth. My tear was coming down. My TV is chattering, but there's no sound. I try to say something, it just cannot come up for at least half an hour. That is called groaning. Christ saw them. Was good. You see Christ's compassion, the power of His compassion that changed as it moved in so much, you know, that the Lord, the creator of this world, can feel the people's pain. That is the power. And you come to verse 41 and verse 40 to 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eye and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. You see, when did Jesus Christ have to say in front of them? Jesus would say, Lazarus, come up. Okay? He didn't need to go and say, Lord, I thank Thee. He prayed to heaven. But Jesus Christ once said, the connection is very important. That you have relationship with God, then the power of God will be very clear and seen straight away. And I thank God that it was manifested in His connection. Because Jesus Christ lifted up His voice to His Father in prayer. Look to the Father for the power. You see, when Jesus down on this earth, He has all the power. He can perform all the miracles. Yet at this moment, He said, no, I'm not going to do it. Just straight away, I'm going to depend on God the Father. You saw the humanity of Jesus Christ. You want to show the connection between He and His Father. We know that when Jesus, one day, when Jesus ascended back to heaven after his resurrection, he sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Okay? And he, because the connection that we have with him, that one day, the Satan, or maybe any day, Satan will call to God. God, you didn't see him? This guy have done something against you. So, he's not entitled to go to heaven to be with you. I thank God in Romans 8:34, Bible says, who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who's also maker of intercession for us. I thank God because my connection with God through Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, I am made free. Sins have no bound over me. No, cannot control anymore. Though I live in this earthly world, okay, I may do something that is bad. I may sin against God. But in the sight of God, Jesus can wash me clean, white as snow. Because the connections I have with him, the power of the connections. Jesus Christ manifests the connections. I thank God we can come to him any times in our life. Many people have wonders in their life. Hey, I've done this bad thing. Well, I've lost my salvation. I need to go to the Lord in prayer now. If not, I'll lose my salvation. How do you know your salvation is made sure? Because of how you make sure. You don't have to make sure. You must believe the Bible says, right? And I hope all you have been seated here are already saved. You are my very sure. I can tell you, because it's the facts of life, you may face encounter, problem, temptation, you're going to fall into sin. And the moment you fall into sin, you doubt your salvation. Many of us have doubted your salvation. Yes. But why we doubt? Because we do not trust the word of God. That we are already connected with God through our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is not temporary, it's forever. It's forever. John chapter 10, earlier part, you see Jesus was talking. John chapter 10, verse 28 to 29. And I give unto them eternal life. Okay? And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Four times. Eternal life. Never perish. No one pluck you from God's hand. Jesus' hand. No one pluck you out from God the Father's hand. So you are sure? 100% sure. It's not what you have done, but important what the Bible says. Forever and ever and ever. I thank God that we are connected to him through our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the power of the connections. Lastly, in verse 39 and 40, Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead. You see, emphasize the dead. Okay. It's already dead. 100% sure it was dead. Dead. Say unto him, Lord, by this time he stingeth, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, "Say I not unto thee that if thou couldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." Didn't I tell you? Well, earlier part, Jesus groaned, he wept, he has feeling. Christ was in a way troubled in his human flesh. Then Jesus commanded a stone to be rolled away, and here Martha said, "Whoa, the body stinks. Don't go near." Do you know that our sins stink? Yet he loves. He's willing to come near to us. And I thank God. This is marvelous scene. Maybe when Jesus was walking near to the tomb, maybe the sting slowly fades away. I know the Bible didn't say that. Okay? The rotting body slowly become kind of fine, returning to back to the normal form. I don't know, but I know that when Jesus have compassion on Lazarus, he walked near. It no more stink. It doesn't stink anymore. Do you know you are so precious in the sight of God? For God so loved the world. He loves everyone. And everyone is precious to him. Every human being, okay, born in Iraq, born in Singapore, born in anywhere, is very precious to him. That's why he can forgo heavenly glory and come down to this earth to do that, just to do that, to save you, to save us, to save human beings. He just wish everyone would come to know him. Not everyone. He said, "Lord, hear me. I believe." You know that. Well, but it will not change the fact that God loves the world. I thank God. Despite the situation, God is in control. And he come to this stinking body of Lazarus and ask him in verse 43. And when he had thus have spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him, let him go." You see the power of God? Jesus just said something, he came out. Bible did not say how Lazarus came out. I believe he do this. I don't know. Because Bible say he was bound. And how did he see his eye, his face was covered. Important thing, he came up. By the power of Jesus. Jesus command him to come up. And he obeyed the command. It's obedience. It's all the obedience. Maybe it's hard to see, but I see the obedience here. Lazarus obeyed, came up. How he came up, how he walked, I don't know. He was bound to him. Okay. Definitely not floating in the air. Definitely coming up. Because he's a human being. Now, again, he came forth and Jesus said, "Loose him." See, what a marvelous scene. One simple phrase from Jesus and everything changed. The creation of this world is the same. Jesus said, God said, and it was. Jesus, God said, it was. God said, it was. And it became being. But I thank God, human being Humankind are different. God does not need say is involved with his hand to make the mold, the sand involved, and he blow into the nostril of that man. He was personally involved. Isn't that love? Isn't that compassion? So you see, if God can say it happened, okay? So in your life, he can do that too. He say it happened. But important thing, do you trust? If God can conquer sin on the borrowed cross and defeat death in a borrowed tomb, I think he can take care of you even in your hopeless case. There's hope in your hopelessness. But do you trust him? That's our Lord. That's just what Jesus does. He normally walks into a hopeless situation and turns it into a blessing and bring hopes. One thing, have we trusted him? I know many of us have gone into a kind of hopeless situation. There's some physical ailment that make us feel with fear. Namely, we know that we are hopeless. We died now, we may not be with the Lord forever. You are not sure. Okay, and I hope God said very clear that in the hopelessness in this world, there's a hope in Christ. Can you come to him? Have you trust him? If you are a Christian, bring it to him if you have a problem. Whatever, bring it to the Lord. Let him solve for you. But many a time when we say, Lord, I got these big problems. I'm in a hopeless situation. But Lord, I help you a hand. I give you a hand. I solve half, you solve half. We tend to do that. I'm not saying we cannot use our intelligence and do something. That means it's not a hopeless case. If it's a hopeless case, trust him. Let him do everything. Have we met that situation? You see, finally, a man approached a little league baseball game. You know a baseball game? They have innings, okay? One turn, two turn, three turn. At the eighth innings, which is the last about the eighth innings, the opposition hit. And then a man approached a man, boy, said, "Hey, boy, what's the score now?" The boy was in the other team, was in the was doing that. Okay, said the boy, said 18 to nothing, sir. We are behind. He said, then the man said, "Okay, hey, I bet you are discouraged. Hopeless now, right?" The little boy replied, "Why should I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten up to bat yet." They haven't started bat yet. They can beat the 18. I'm not saying using the strength. I'm saying here there's hope. And you see when things is hopeless. But thank God we can. Our hope is not based on what we're able to do. Our hope is based on Christ, what he has done. Okay? Anytime we are in a hopeless situation, that's mainly how it appears. If we could put our eye spot and look at our Christ, if we could see Jesus, you could see that Jesus is just maybe warming up to help us. Hey, I'm ready to help you. Come on, pray to me, man. Pray to me. He's so excited to help you, to help you, to help me. Even he like to you, like when we are in a hopeless situation, he'll say, wow, it's the best chance to manifest myself to them. They need to trust me. They need to trust me. I thank God. Our God of hope, even when we are hopeless. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you for re-emphasizing your truth to us. Thank you, Lord, you are with us all the time. Thank you that you have given us the hope, even despite we seemingly we face hopelessness. But yet, Lord, you have promised, thou wilt never leave nor forsake us. Thou art with us all the time. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us. Thank you, Lord, being our God and Savior. May your name be honored in our life. Help us all to trust you more each day. Help us to talk to you every second of our life. Help us all to rely on your strength, not on our intelligence. Father, help us all to lean on you. Thank you again for reminding us. Thank you for this church. I'm going to bless them, guide them, help them, Lord. Despite any situation they may face, they must be mindful, Lord, that thou art with them. Thou will give them the strength, the power to overcome any situation that they face. Thank you again for your truth. Thank you for this church. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let me just close again. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Just want to, I'm not preaching another message, don't worry, all right? But Romans chapter 4 and verse number 18. You know, as Christians, we are people of hope, amen? As Christians, we are people of hope. Hope of eternal life, hope of a new body. We are Christians, we are people of hope, and I just want to read this verse in Romans 4 and verse 18. The Bible says, let's read together, right? Verse chapter 4 and verse 18, Romans. Ready? One, two, go. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which he has spoken, so shall thy seed be. The Bible says Abraham actually, it was an impossible situation for him to have a child, right? But he was still able to hope because he didn't look at the situation of Sarah. He didn't look at his situation. He looked at God who promised. And I think that's a very important thing for a Christian. Every Christian has hope because of who Jesus is and what he has said. And Christian, if we are in a living situation right now, we find it's a hopeless case. There are no hopeless cases with God, amen? When there's life, there is hope. When there is life, there is hope. As far as God is concerned, like what Pastor So had mentioned, do we trust Him more than the situation? And as Pastor So was preaching, I realize one thing in your life. Let's pretend this is your Christian life, right? This is your Christian life. Towards God's outcome. Sometimes God will put different things along the way. Okay? So when Lazarus, the outcome was for Lazarus to be raised from the dead. But part of the milestone is for Lazarus to die first. But the Lord Jesus Christ already knew what he was going to do. Thank God, God always knows what he was going to do. All we need to do is to put our hands in, put our life in his hands. And it's so important, and it's hard because humanly we want control. But God says you need to surrender your control to him and trust him. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We pray, Lord, these words will settle in our hearts. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask this question. Are you in a situation that, whether by our own doing, whether by someone else's fault, whether by situational things, we appear to be in a hopeless situation? At least in our eyes. At least in our own eyes. But today God has said, look, I don't want you to look at your situation. I want you to look at me. Because there's a biblical principle. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You may not know what the end is, or rather you may not know what the situation is, but you do know that Christ is in control. And God says, I want you to trust me, my child, and I'm going to take care of that, but you need to put your faith in me. In other words, you do everything that he says. You submit to him. In other words, you change where you need to change and do what you need to do as God takes control of your life. Is there someone said, Rajani, through the message God has spoken to me, can you please kindly pray for me? Is there someone like that? Just put up your hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see hands. Hands all over. Is there someone else? Someone else. All right, if you are here, you're not a Christian, can I just gently say, there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about religion, we're talking about hope in Jesus Christ. He died, but he rose again the third day so that we can have an eternal hope. But you say, Brother Johnny, when I die right now, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if my sins are forgiven. I don't know whether or not I have hope. Is there someone like that who say, Brother Johnny, you talk about hope. I'd like to know more, about this hope, which you say is in Jesus. I need to know this person, Jesus. If you're someone here and say, Brother Johnny, I don't know Jesus Christ, but I certainly want to know him in my life. Do you mind if you just slip up your hand that I can pray for you, have one of our brother, for a man, a sister, for a lady to share with you about this. So is there someone like that who will say, Brother Johnny, I don't know. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. I have my own beliefs, but it seems that I'm in a hopeless case. Is there someone who says, Brother Johnny, I don't know. Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you, and then I'll ask someone to share with you the hope of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there someone like that? If not, let's pray. Father, we pray for the brethren that put up their hands. Lord, you know their situation. And sometimes, Lord, in our effort to want to overcome or control the situation, we would think of ways. Lord, I believe with all of my heart, you will give wisdom in some of the things we need to do. But yet, Lord, when all that's said and done, when the people upon Jesus' instruction remove the stone, and Father, we can do all we can. We can even take out the grave clothes around Lazarus. Lazarus will not come back from the dead unless you speak the word. So Father, help us to do all we can, and then let you, Lord, do your part. Help us not to be anxious. As thy word teaches us, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. I pray for these four or five brethren who have put up their hands. I pray, Lord, that you would lift up their eyes from their situation and place it squarely on Jesus Christ. That, Father, on yourself, your promise, your love for them, and sometimes, Lord, even your discipline, so that they can come to a point of understanding your will, be obedient to your word, and be walking in your ways. And that, Father, as they are drawing close to you, your power can flow through their lives. Lord, we thank you for the brethren that's been honest with you, and I believe many, Lord, here are in their hearts honest with you, but there may be some that may be struggling in their hearts to surrender. Father, help us to understand, Lord, the reason why we are stuck in our hopelessness is because we are putting our eyes on the hopelessness and not on Christ. Father, I pray that even as Ambassador Baptist Church, your people preach the hope of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you teach us the valuable lesson, Lord, that we ourselves need to live that hope that is only possible through thy word, through the relationship with Jesus Christ, and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit as we obey what you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for the brethren that put up their hands. Thank you for many others, Lord, who are quietly perhaps struggling, but yet they are willing, Lord. I pray many Christians are struggling, but they are willing, and I pray you will see their heart, and in your compassion, reach in and change our lives, Lord, according to your will. Thank you for what you're going to sing, a closing hymn, that you will be worth it all. Help us, Lord, to stay close with you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.